This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to Enterprise BizBytes. Sorry for the delay, ladies and gentlemen. We've had a little bit of a technical issue here in the studio. We've had to switch studios and now we are back on air. Anyway, my name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Frida Liu
and Christine Wong.
We, of course, are going to be with you all the way through until 1 p.m. This afternoon. If you want to get in touch via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899, or, of course, on Twitter at BFM Radio. What a Monday morning. What a start to Monday morning, you know?
It's been a manic Monday already.
A manic Monday afternoon.
I've walked into the office this morning. The first thing I see on my desk is a little post-it note, and all it says is, you owe me.
Yeah. And you come running to
me. Right. Of course I come running to you. Anyway, stories lined up for today. We have 5 ways to use failure to push your startup forward in 2018. Motivational. Oh, no, we changed it, didn't we?
We changed it.
How to think, trick your brain. Right, that was it. See, this is what happens when we get flustered, you see. Then moving on to a growing trend for e-payment. Story number 3, 8 things that could derail your career if you say them to your boss. I said to Christine earlier on, I think of all of these, I've said all 8 at some point in my career. Then we'll be wrapping up with talking to the future, how your next car's voice assistant will work. Then, of course, with some events. So let's kick off with how to trick your brain into thinking you have more time. Ironically, for the first story.
Which in some cases, you really don't have much time, right, as in today. But I really like this article from Fast Company. And the thing is, like, we always say we're busy, we're overwhelmed. I mean, this is the usual thing, you know. And we measure, the thing is, he says, we measure our own importance and the importance of those around us by how much we can pack into our days. And I think, you know, social media doesn't help, right?
Right.
And he says that actually on the whole, people in developed countries or developing countries like ourselves are actually working far fewer hours than in past decades. Yet we feel busier than ever.
I would agree with that.
Right? So a couple of things. I was just looking through these articles and I'm just looking through this article and whether I do some of these things. So one of the ways she talked about was to identify the values you're sacrificing to busyness, right? If we're too busy to ask if our values drive our actions, the inertia of business can lead us down a very different path than we intended. So do you value spending time outdoors but haven't actually gone for a walk outside in months? Do you value learning but haven't taken the time to practice a new skill? And do you value relationships with friends, family and co-workers but too rushed to be fully present when you spend time with them? So it says it may be worth sacrificing some efficiency to make space for these things that you've decided are important.
Right.
I think when we feel like we've missed out on, haven't gone for a walk in a while, and then that's when, you know, you think that you're a lot more busy than you are.
Yeah.
Okay. 2, accept that you can't do everything. Hey!
Right.
So instead of letting dozens of unfinished tasks snowball on your to-do list day after day, just take them off.
You see, what I have a problem with this, it's not so much of like removing stuff from my list. I often forget to ask for help. Right? You know, because I become a little bit too proud.
Okay.
And I can do all of this. And then you end up burning yourself out, right?
On both sides of the candle. So,
yeah.
So if you can't quite bring yourself to delete tasks, give yourself permission to stop actively worrying about it, to moving it to a dedicated someday
Maybe
project instead, right? And you'll get the same amount done. You just feel a whole lot better about it, right? There's some things, okay, I think this can wait till tomorrow.
Yeah, I think I spend a lot of time thinking about what I have to do next as well. So, you know, even before I've done the current thing that I'm working on, I'm thinking, oh no, I have like 5 things to do for the rest of the day, but maybe I should just put that aside, right?
Because it messes your brain up.
Yeah, it does.
You just focus on the priorities and say, okay, I think this one can wait till tomorrow.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And so do one thing at a time. Even the unpleasant stuff,
uh-huh.
It says. So with your, you know, it says, with your already overbrimming schedules, it's tempting to cram more and more into small amounts of time. So we answer emails while trying to get work done, browse the internet while we eat, right?
Oops.
Okay. So one Harvard study of over 2,000 adults found that we spent just over half our time focusing on one thing, right? And I think that's where we feel like we're just overwhelmed everywhere, right? And yet the same study also revealed that we're most happy when we're focusing on what we're doing at the moment. Like on radio, right? We can't be doing other things at the moment. woman.
Speak for yourself. I'm doing 50 things here.
Oh, sorry. True. Okay. In fact, okay, how often our minds leave the present and where they tend to go is a better place for our happiness than the activities in which we're engaged. So in other words, what we're doing is less important to our happiness than how we present our minds while we're doing it. Okay. The fourth one is invest in aimless acts of creativity.
Doodling.
Yes.
Oh, right. Nice.
So our days with tasks that feel urgent, immediately useful, but acts of aimless creativity may not be useless after all. So this is another study, a 13-day study of over 600 young adults, and found that people who engaged in a creative activity on one day were more likely to experience positive emotions and greater flourishing, right? Cook something new, write a letter or journal, do a puzzle or brain tease. That's why I'm always in Bejeweled and Words with Friends.
That's why.
See,
I thought it was something entirely different.
I have such foresight. Okay. So anything that gets you out of the serious bustle of day and into a more creative, curious mindset.
Good stuff.
Right. Nice.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of things. Read an actual book.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Agreed.
So he says here, so this is this guy called Hugh McGuire, and he's built a career around books. One day he realized that he just read 12 in the past year. So that's when he decided he needed a change. Now when he gets home at night, he puts away his phone and laptop. Instead of turning on the TV or opening Netflix or browsing the internet, he reads a book, right? So reading books again has given me more time to reflect, to think, and has increased both my focus and the creative mental space to solve work problems. So my stress levels are much lower and energy levels up. So that's the thing, right? When you do read a book on Kindle,
yeah.
So what happens is bing, 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 and then you go into this other place. But when you're reading a book, that's just that undivided focus.
I have found that very recently. Rediscovered the beauty and the joy of reading a real book, because everything for a long time has been on my Kindle. And my Kindle broke. And so I'm like, oh, now I have to buy books again, you know, which is a great feeling, you know, owning it, smelling it, reading it, and just turning off Netflix, which is a struggle in itself, right, Christine?
Well, yes.
The struggle is real.
I mean, yeah, weirdly enough, in the last week, I also took up reading as well because I got Game of Thrones for Christmas and I've been starting on that. And I forgot how nice it feels to turn pages.
Right?
So relaxing.
All right.
Okay, so spend more time with friends in real life.
That feels like you're speaking directly to me.
You know, instead of finding out what they're doing on social media. And I did that last weekend. You know, it's really good. I made a point to see someone at 4:30 and 7 and just spend time and just have conversations and not, you know, and not have to post that on social media.
I mean, and that's the thing I said to you this morning. Oh, I see you had a good weekend, Frida. The hair looked nice over the weekend. You know,
That was Sunday.
That was Sunday, and it's all via social media, you know.
Right, see? Okay, this is another one. Give your time away. Apparently, if you actually give your time away to help and do things, you find that you're actually a lot more productive. Okay, so, a couple of things is also spend 15 minutes outdoors. Do you get enough of that?
No. My tan says otherwise.
And I guess this is a very important one. Make space for stillness and solitude.
I love that.
Yeah. Well, there's Chinese New Year next week. Yep. I don't know if you'll have space for stillness and solitude.
It's going to be loud and bangy. I think that's the right phrase, right? Loud and bangy?
We'll go with that one.
We're going to have to take a break. We've got some music coming up after the ads. In fact, no, we don't have any music coming up after the ads. We're going to go into an ad and then come straight back.
Okay.
Right. We are running out of time, but if you want to get in touch via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. Of course, we are on Twitter at BFM Radio. Don't go anywhere on BFM 89.9.
Barry fronts Motown. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Ha, tricked you. We're right back. This is Enterprise here on BFM 89.9. Next story, 8 things that could derail your career if you say them to your boss.
Yeah. So my career has just started, but I thought this was a really interesting article. And, you know, I figured, you know, if I don't know these things, other people don't know these things.
Right.
We all need to know. So here are the 8 things that could derail your career if you say them to your boss. The first thing is, I need a raise.
Oh.
Okay.
So the concept is everyone wants a raise, so you're not saying anything that your boss doesn't already know. And the big problem with this four-word statement is you're phrasing. So the fact that you need more money because, like, let's say your car broke down or your kid has to get braces isn't a good enough reason for a raise. A raise should be something that you've earned. clearly. So the suggestion is to say instead, I'd like to discuss a raise based on my performance this past quarter, this month, year, whatever. Cite important milestones and try to quantify your accomplishments. So for example, I've done so and so and so this year. I think that based on that performance, I deserve a raise. The second thing is, I can't stand working with blank.
Ooh, yeah.
Right, so this is apparently one of the
blank
most...
blank is a pain.
Okay, that one I've not done. That one I've not done. Yeah.
So this is apparently actually one of the most common complaints that managers hear from direct reports. The advice is that if you have an issue with a peer, try to resolve it with the person directly. If that isn't possible for various reasons and the issue is negatively impacting your work, so if it's a social thing, kind of just leave it, I guess. Yeah. Bring it to your boss's attention, but proceed with caution and point out specific things that your peer has done to create a problem and present a solution. Don't just say, hey, so-and-so is being annoying, you know, actually come up with a solution to the problem. So for example, blank is consistently late filing his reports, which is pushing back production and threatening a deadline. Here's what I recommend we do. The third thing is... but it's not my fault. So when something goes wrong, don't
scramble. I did not break it. I did not.
Right. Like, don't scramble to point the finger at other people. Mm. If you have made a mistake or something has gone wrong, take responsibility for the project. Granted, don't just accept the blame without any kind of action. Also, explain how you're going to avoid repeating their mistake in the future. Say instead that I understand that this is an issue. Here is what happened. Here's how I'm going to prevent it from happening again.
All right. Yep.
Which I like. The next thing is, but we've always done it this way. So don't get stuck into this routine where you constantly do the same thing over and over again, and don't get used to things, right? Because managers want employees who can adapt and find new ways of doing things more effectively. Don't get defensive. Respond positively and say something like, okay, sounds like a great idea, but I'd love any recommendations you have on how to do this because it's different from how we've done it in the past. The fifth thing is, that's not part of my job.
Ooh. Mm. Yeah, so, as a manager, hearing that, I'd be like,
yeah, right? Mm. You know, your boss is just going to be like, well, just do it anyway.
Yeah.
I've just made it part of your job.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
However, if your manager asks you to do something that maybe would be a better fit for a coworker based on your peer's area of expertise, then say something like, I'm happy to take care of that for you, but this is something that so-and-so normally handles. Would you like me to delegate it to him, or would you like me to tackle it this time? Mm. All right, the next thing is, that's above my pay grade. Woo! Don't say that.
This is the
that.
Kind of thing you hear in like American TV shows.
Yeah, right. Yeah. This is very Mad Men.
Right.
In a sitcom.
Right. I've never heard anybody actually use that phrase.
I know.
Well, apparently it's been said. So if your boss asks you to do something that you believe is outside the scope of your position, express your concern, but the key is to use a neutral tone. Say something like, I don't think I have the authority to make that decision. Do you think so-and-so would be more appropriate to handle this task?
I love how half of these suggestions are just shrugging things off, though. You know, it's not so much giving you a positive way of doing things; it's a way of avoiding things.
Mm. But it's also trying to figure out exactly what your responsibilities are and if someone is more appropriately suited to the task that you might not be. So,
I see it as just better communication.
It's just rephrasing things. Yeah. That's all it's doing, right?
Yeah. Which is good, though. I think, you know, nowadays we tend to be a bit less tactful, and I think that does affect a lot of our communication with people, especially our bosses as well. The last two things are, number one, I have too much on my plate. Many people think that, you know, declining a new project or assignment can be perceived as being lazy, but you also don't want to become overwhelmed and then your quality of work suffers. So say something like, I don't think I have the bandwidth to take on this assignment, but if this is a priority, can you help me reorganize what I'm working on?
I hate that. I hate that. I hate that bandwidth word. Anyway, go on.
Yeah, well, that's what the article says on Business Insider. Anyway, if possible, offer your manager a solution to how you can reduce your workload. So delegate something to someone or try to reprioritize. The last thing is, do not say I'm bored. It's your responsibility to look for ways to fill your spare time. If you just say, I'm bored, you're dumping the problem on your boss's shoulders. And your best tactic is to find out if your manager has any tasks that could be passed on to you. Offer to look at your department's procedures and see where you can introduce efficiencies. Just find stuff to do. You're at work,
right,
man.
Right, yeah. I mean, there's always plenty to do.
Yeah, yeah, you can always get back to that puzzle, that brain teaser.
Yeah.
Go back to it. Take 15 minutes to do something creative, you know?
Yeah, read a book.
Oh, wait, no.
Not at work. That's bad advice. Don't do that at work.
Walk outside. Take in the fresh air, you know?
Yeah, that could be working as well. Right, should we take some music? Should we have that? We didn't have any yet. Yes. Right, it is 12:23. We're about to take a very short break. If you want to get in touch via WhatsApp, 018-789-88. 89.9. Or, of course, we are on Twitter at BFM Radio. Up next, a little bit of Stevie Ray Vaughan, The House Is Rockin', followed by Queen with I Wanna Break Free, absolutely on a Monday. BFM 89.9.
Better Finance Management. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Bizmites. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Christine Wong.
Frida Liu.
We can't hear herself.
You something. Can't hear yourself? What's going on?
Don't know.
Wiggle your ears a little bit.
Wiggling.
We are still with you all the way through until 1 o'clock this afternoon. If you want to get in touch via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899 or on Twitter at BFM Radio. Now, we've spoken a lot about automated vehicles, how self-driving vehicles, electric vehicles, all of that kind of stuff.
Yep.
I don't drive myself, right? Frida, I know you do drive. How often do you find yourself talking to your car? You know, just randomly, hello, darling, I love you kind of stuff. You know, do you ever talk to your car as if it's a sentient being?
Generally, no, but no? This one, I think she's kind of cute.
Right? Yeah. You think she's kind of, she's got some nice curves on there. Right?
I don't drive, but I do talk to inanimate objects on a daily basis.
Right.
Like, just now, I thanked the printer.
You thanked the printer.
So I don't
You're
know.
You're revealing an awful lot about yourself, right?
It's just in my nature to be polite. And then when technology cooperates with me, I'm just like, you know what? Thank you.
All right, all right. Okay, so the reason I'm asking you about this is because I'm going to be talking to you about talking to the future, how your next car's voice assistant will actually work. So there's this, over in Las Vegas earlier this year, Mercedes were kind of showing off one of their new products. And this new product is, the software has been developed by Bosch. And essentially what you can do is you can plan your entire week, where you're going to eat, your calendar, everything, just by talking to your vehicle. Now, before, if you've used Siri or anything like that to try and plan your day or even any of the Amazon stuff or anything, it's very, very difficult. The thing often doesn't get it right and you end up with bookings and things that you don't like. The development by Bosch, though, is much more advanced and you can actually start a dialogue with the system just by saying things like, hey, Mercedes, which would be quite nice, right? I mean, you know, if you've got a Mercedes, yeah, anyway.
You can say hi, Mercedes.
Right, yeah. Hi, Mercedes. And it's because of this thing called the Mercedes-Benz User Experiments, MBUCs. I'm thinking that they could have a better name for it, but anyway.
Yeah.
But it includes like this large touchscreen screen, lavish graphics, and it's going to be launched on their A-Class. And the idea is Bosch have introduced this thing called Casey, who's their voice assistant.
Right.
And it recognizes commands in 30 different languages and is trained to understand natural speech patterns. So they've used AI and algorithmic learning to do all about this kind of stuff. The beautiful thing about it is you can actually rename it. So you don't have to say, hey, Mercedes. Jeez. You could say, I mean, in your case, you could say, hey, Herbie, or whatever your car is called. With what?
You know, I have, you know, since they can recognize speech patterns.
Yeah.
Because I won't say, where shall I go for lunch? I'll say, where to eat?
Where to eat, huh?
Yeah.
Nice. That kind of stuff. So the brain power of all of this is located in what they're calling the head unit. And this analysis takes place all over the car. And if there's no internet connection available, it kind of provides up-to-date information on the weather, the menus of selected restaurants. It does all kinds of really cool stuff. And I like the idea of, because we're moving so swiftly now, and we're going to be looking at, as we said, automated vehicles. The very fact that you can now, instead of having to fiddle with your phone, you can just say, you know, hey, sweetheart, or whatever you
really
want to call
it. It's really sweetheart.
It's truly like the most hands-free experience you can get.
Right.
Which will also be good for safety reasons and things like that as well.
Exactly. But
And driverless.
Yeah. But what also worries me about this is the fact that you know that when it's driverless and totally hands-free, and all, there is space for something else to come into this equation. And we've spoken about this not too long ago. You know what I'm going to say, right?
The ads.
Mm. That's what, we know that Mercedes are very smart and we know that Bosch are very smart. And if it's at that point where you're completely hands-off, you know, hey, Mercedes, where are we going to go for lunch? You are going to get certain restaurants and certain venues. Exactly. Exactly that. That's what I was thinking. That exact sound. You know, that's what you're going to start hearing, right? Now, that worries me a little bit. That worries me a little bit. Because this thing is totally integrated into your machine and into your car. You won't be able to switch it off, right? How do we feel about that? Come on, Frida. I know you're giggling away there, but, you know.
Right? I don't know. Unless I am in the mood for a prosperity burger.
I'm so sorry for subliminally getting people
That's
to climb
That's
going to
be in
tunnels.
Our heads for the rest of the afternoon. You know that.
Apologies.
I know that. But I really like the idea about it. You know, just the fact that I can just sit in the car and just go, right, you know, this is where I want to go.
Yeah.
totally hands-free.
I think generally it is a good idea. You know, then you should be able to think enough and say, no, I don't think I really want to go there. Mm. You know, I mean, you should be able to. But sometimes days where I just don't want to think.
Yeah.
Yep. Someone's offered a suggestion. And that's what they're counting on, right?
It is.
I mean, I'm definitely going to program my future car to respond with, you're welcome, when I thank them. Yeah. So then suddenly it's a real interaction, you know?
Maybe we can get the printer to do that as well. Right. Time for a short break. Music coming up. We've got Rooney with I'm Shaken, followed by a little bit of The Breeders with Cannonball. We'll be right back in a few minutes. BFM 89.9.
Boyish 40-something millionaires. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise BizBytes. Moving on to our next story, a growing trend for e-payment. So more small retailers are seeing the need to adopt e-payment methods to make it more convenient for their customers and to grow their businesses. A higher take-up rate can be attributed to the public and private sector's push last year, the former by directing local financial institutions to upgrade debit and credit cards with PIN and contactless systems payment, and the latter through the launch of various e-payment apps here in Malaysia. Mm. Today, e-payment has become a major point of consideration for anyone who wishes to digitize their business, and this is most commonly accomplished through a smartphone app and a QR code, which allows for transactions to be processed. I was saying to Christine just off air earlier on today that the problem I had in the UK for the longest time is whenever I would take my Malaysian card over there to use in the machines over there,
they look at you suspiciously.
They look at me suspiciously, and I always have a transaction failed issue. Now this year, a lot of these systems in the UK have also been upgraded, so I can now, like, it's contactless, you know, it's brilliant. So everything has now become seamless and a lot easier. The idea behind this whole idea of going cashless and using e-payment, it's really useful. Digi are now offering this thing for SMEs and micro businesses where they only charge this low merchant discount of 0.8%,
right.
You know, which is really useful.
Yep.
And not only that, but the idea of it being immediate payment means that a lot of the auditing and all the records is immediate, and you're not faffing around trying to find bits and pieces. It's all done automatically and very quickly. It's convenience of having direct deposited funds at the end of the day, making transactions easy and fuss-free, lowering the risk of cash in transit mishaps. And here's a little quote from some of the people from LifeJuice. Our customers are constantly on the move and they do not want to spend time waiting in a queue to pay. And this is apparent in how we model their retail points with a pick up and go concept. Not only does VCash, which is another one that's been offered, complement our customers' lifestyle, but it also enables us to enhance our customer experience and, minimal investment cost or risk.
You know, I'm looking at this, and what's really interesting is the Hainanese coffee shop, Ute Key.
Yeah.
And they've been around for 80 years, and when you think of a coffee shop, you don't think of
you think of paying with old notes, right?
Right.
The other weekend I actually went to Malacca, and on Jonker Street now they have Alipay. On the street stalls, which is what I was just standing there like, I cannot believe that you can just pay for stuff at a street stall with your phone. That's ridiculous to me.
Right.
That's the way of the future.
Yeah. So and for me personally, this really removes a lot of anxiety that I have over not getting all my change out in time for cashiers.
When you know somebody behind you is going, can you hurry up?
They have their hand outstretched and I'm like, I don't know what coins I have suddenly. This is just removing a lot of stress.
Yes.
So I'm very grateful.
I like the idea of it. Yes, I'm really up for this whole e-payment thing. I think it's going to massively help us and, just make our life feel a little bit more efficient.
Yeah,
right?
That's going to be nice.
Right, music. The Pretenders, Hymn to Her, up next. Mm. And then when we get back, of course, some events that we think you should check out later on in the week. Don't go anywhere. BFM 89.9, The Business.
Because feelings matter. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise BizBytes. It's almost time for us to wrap up, but as with every single Monday, we want to give you some events that we think might benefit you, stuff that you might want to check out this week. We're going to start off with the Malaysian Digital Economy Forum.
Right. Hashtag MyDev2018. It's happening on Thursday, February 8th from 8:30 to 5:15 at the Meaty Tower. Who should attend? Entrepreneurs interested in e-commerce. I think that's everybody. So the Malaysian Digital Economy Forum, with the theme of transforming businesses and society through digitization, projects the government's efforts to reach out to the e-commerce players along the value chain on the importance of embracing digitalization for their businesses. So what you can do is, it is free, but you have to RSVP on Eventbrite.
Aha.
Great. And the next event that we have is Let's Talk Digital Marketing, which is happening on Friday, February 9th from 9:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. At KL Trillion. It is free. You can RSVP on PTIX. Who should attend? Product managers, marketing executives, product owners, business owners, analysts, content managers, business development, web developers, interns. So everybody.
So basically everybody.
Everybody
yes.
needs yeah. to go. So it's a place where you can discuss ways to boost your business in 2018 by applying the best and most cost-effective ways using digital channels to reach your customers.
Yay. Finally, I've got something for you. If you've got nothing to do this weekend, Saturday the 10th of February between 9 and 5 at the Launchpad Cyberjaya, it is Facebook Marketing for Beginners. Mm. 250 ringgit for early bird, 500 ringgit for regular attendees. You can RSVP on PTIX. If you are an entrepreneur who's planning to do Facebook marketing in-house, entrepreneurs who are planning to set up a new social media team for their company, anyone who wants to become a social media marketer, it is a full-day workshop on Facebook marketing for beginners where they'll explore the A to Z of marketing your business on Facebook. That's what it says in the title. From planning to content development all the way to setting up your ads. Mm. As simple as that. Right, we have come to the end of the show, but we'll quickly run through what we covered just in part in case you missed any part of the show. We started off with
how to trick your brain into thinking that you have more time.
We then moved on to
8 things that could derail your career if you say them to your boss.
Yeah, don't do that.
Don't do any of that.
We then moved on to talking to the future, how your next car's voice assistant will work, and then we wrapped up, of course, with the growing trend for e-payment here in Malaysia. Now, don't go anywhere, because coming up after the 1 o'clock news, we have the Breakfast Grill replay. It is with Datuk Amir Ali Maidin, the managing director of Maidin. Despite a slowing local retail sector, the hypermart operator Maidin is determined on increasing their presence with more outlets planned for opening soon. The managing director shared everything from their mini market ventures with Krim to overcoming the tough times. That's all coming up after the 1 o'clock news. On behalf of myself, Richard Bradbury, Christian Wong, and Frida Liu, this has been Enterprise Biz Bites. Up next, it is a little bit of Wolf Mother with Love Train, coming right up here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.